Well, good evening and welcome to Kingdom Encounter Live. My name is Apostle Milton Jones. So glad you took the time out to join us tonight. I know this word is going to be a blessing to you. How do I know? Because if you receive it the same way that I received it, or if you receive it the same way which he gave it to me, it was going to bless your life forever. In fact, I'm going to tell you, well, the way this message came about, I was just riding in the car down the street and everything, and God said something to me that I want to share with you. He says, the integrity of the upright guides them. The integrity of the upright is what guides them. So, of course, I had to go into some study to find out. I've heard it before. I've even read it before. Heck, I've even taught on it before. But this time it hit a little bit different, because if you've been following us at any point in time, you will know we've been talking about over the last few weeks about how the Holy Spirit is, God has, is uses the Holy Spirit to develop his character and his nature on the inside of you. We talked about it last week, how through the transformation, you go from conforming to this world to being transformed in the renewal of your mind by the word of God, and how you and the Holy Spirit work in collaboration to bring that thing about. But this week is we're going to be talking about how the integrity is your guiding force. The spirit of integrity is your guiding force, and how that the Holy Spirit is very instrumental in bringing that thing to pass. So here we go, where I'm going to share this word with you first. He says this. God says there's two type of believers of Jesus Christ. He says you have the carnally minded and you have the spiritually minded. Both are in the church today. So when you're talking to a carnally minded follower, they will only see things through their five physical senses. While a spiritually minded follower of Jesus will hear with their spiritual ears and gain insight and understanding. That's what you're dealing with here. He says people who are dominated by their flesh and not by their spirit. So they hear with their carnal ears and not with their spiritual ears. They lean on intellect and not revelation or impartation. He says John 3 is a prime example. John 3, you know, John 3 is when Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, and Jesus is speaking spiritually and Nicodemus is hearing carnally. So as a result, Jesus spoke spiritual principles to him in parables, so that those who had ears to hear could hear, but those who didn't wouldn't receive the principle. And that's why it's vital to be born again, because until you are, you can't see, hear, understand, or even begin to perceive how to operate according to the kingdom of God. And we're going to find it, you know, it's interesting when you go back and you start studying, because even in the book of Malachi chapter 3, and I know most people, when you say Malachi chapter 3, they get nervous in the service because they think you're going to go to their money. But this is not about the money, because if you look at Malachi chapter 3, God is actually prophesying through Malachi what was to come. He said, I'm going to send a forerunner. His name was going to be John the Baptist. And what was John the Baptist's role was going to be was to prepare the people to meet the Lord. He was going to, you know, part of it was going to be to restore the fathers to the sons and restore the sons back to the fathers. And he says, but more important, he was going to prepare the people to meet the Lord. But he's also restoring. The first thing he did, if you read Malachi chapter 3, is he restored the relationships with the priests to the Heavenly Father. Because like goes the people, like go the priests. In other words, if the priest is off, typically the people going to get off too. Why? Because the priests are pastors, are apostles, are prophets, evangelists, and teachers are supposed to be the mouthpieces that are used by God to get his word into the earth, to be able to warn the people and to teach the people, to instruct the people on the way that they should go. Well, if you go continue to read down, and they said, you know, he says, this is when God uses in Malachi chapter 3, and then he says, will a man rob God? And he says, you know, he says, yet have you robbed me? And the people look at him like, how have we robbed you? And he says, and he uses as an example, tithes and offerings. And he goes on to talk about, you know, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in my house. And prove me if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out such a blessing you don't have room enough to receive. And he says he has rebuked the devourer for your sake. He also goes on to say, he says, and your fruit will not come up on the vine before its time. And he says, and all nations shall call you blessed. And most people stop reading about that point. But if you keep reading on down to Malachi chapter 3, verse 13, it says this. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. It says this. You have said terrible things about me, says the Lord. But you say, what do you mean? He says, people say, what have we said against you? And God says this. He says, you have said, what's the use of serving God? What have we gained by obeying his commands or by trying to show the Lord of heaven's army that we are sorry for our sins? From now on, we will call the arrogant blessed. For those who do evil get rich, and those who dare God to punish them suffer no harm. Now, those who are looking strictly in the natural say, what do you mean? So, have you ever heard somebody say, man, I'm doing all these things. I'm following God. I'm doing what I think I'm supposed to be doing, and nothing seems to be working. And I got my crazy cousin Bobby over there. He's living like the world. He's selling dope on every corner. He's slinging. He got women. He got money. He got this, that, and the other. And it seems like he's getting ahead. He says, but all those the things of this world compared to eternity are temporal. No matter how rich a person gets in this world, everything is temporal, which means it's temporary. In fact, it says this in Mark chapter 8, I believe it is in verse 34. He says, what would it profit a man to gain the whole world and to lose his soul? And what would he be willing to give in exchange for his soul? In other words, if you gain all the riches, you became the richest person in the world on this earth for the full, on the average, 80 to 100 years. You was the richest person on the planet, but you never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The word of God says in Revelation chapter 3, talking about the church at Laodicea, they had all kind of money. They had all kind of riches. And they said, we are rich and we have all this wealth. We don't need anything else. And Jesus said to them, he says, but you don't realize that you are blind. You are poor. He even said you are wretched. Now, in the natural, it seemed like they had everything. He says, but compared to the things of God, you are broken. Than the first set of the Ten Commandments that Moses dropped when he was going back down the mountain. God is saying this. He says, if you place more value on the things of this world in this life, he says, you will have the things of this life, but you will lose the life he had for you because you made a decision to put everything else in front of him. He says, but when you put me in front of all these other things, he says, I will be able to, he says, you will gain the life I already had initially for you. He says, and it will be a life even so much greater than anything you could have ever asked for, thought, or imagined. He says, but it takes a decision on your part. Now, going back to Malachi chapter 3, they made a decision. They said, hey, you know what? You know, it don't even benefit us to serve you. So you know what? From this day forward, Lord, this is what I'm going to do. He says, I'm going to call the arrogant blessed. He says, because those who do evil in your sight, he says, nothing even happens to them. Then God says this. He says this. He says, believe in verse 15. He says, and then those who feared the Lord spoke with each other. Now, what does it mean to fear the Lord? It doesn't mean to be afraid of God. What it means to have reverential awe, fear and reverential worship and respect for God, which means that you are quick to obey, that you hearken to his word. You want nothing in your life more than you want him. He is the most important person in your life, and you'll do whatever it takes to make sure you maintain that relationship with him. That's what it means to fear the Lord. He says, those who fear the Lord spoke with each other, and the Lord listened to what they said. In his presence, he says, in his presence, a scroll of remembrance was written to record the names of those who did what? Who feared the Lord and always thought about the honor of his name. When you fear the Lord, you honor him. When you fear the Lord, you reverence him. When you fear the Lord, you are so quick to obey him, even when it makes no sense to you in the natural. you will obey whatever he asks you to do. He says there's a roll. He's writing your name down on the roll. He says, now these people who fear the Lord, God says they will be my people. He says, on the day when I act in judgment, they, talking about those who fear the Lord, will be my own special treasure. He says, I will spare them as a father spares an obedient child. Then you will again see. What are you going to see? The difference between the righteous and the wicked, those who serve God and those who did not. Because even though the people said at one point they had a relationship with God, they made a heart decision that, you know what, from this day forward, I'm not going to follow God. I'm going to follow the dictates of this world. And why is that going to be important? Because when you're operating according to the spirit of integrity, your integrity will guide you. Still talking about people who, you have people who are carnally minded. You have people who are spiritually minded. He goes on to say this in Job chapter 21, verse 14. He says this, and they said to God, go away. We want no part of you and your ways. Who is this Almighty? And why should we obey him? What good will it do us to pray? In other words, they're saying, you know what? We got all this wealth. We got all these riches. We got all this stuff. What difference does it make if we serve God? What difference does it make if we keep his commandments? What difference does it make if we operate in integrity? What difference does it make? What it says here in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 3, he says, the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Now, remember that word perversity means to take something that is good and to turn it into something that is worse. It is not just talking about sexual sin. It's talking about taking anything, whether it's words, whether it's actions, whether it's businesses, whether using how you use your body, how you eat foods and everything. A prime example. A lot of people say, you know, marijuana is a lot of people say, you know, it's good for recreational high. But when its original creation was for to be used for medicine. So some people took something that was initially something that was meant for good and perverted it and turned it into something else. Same thing with opioids. Opioids was something that was used for medicine. But back in Vietnam, many, many years ago, when it was turned and used for something else, people ended up getting addicted to opioids. And more people suffered loss as a result of opioids in that Vietnam War than any of the lives that was lost in the battle. Point being is someone took something that was meant for good, perverted it, and turned it into something that is worse. It says the integrity of the upright will guide them, but the perversity of the unfaithful will destroy them. Continue to read verse number 4. It says, riches do not profit in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. The righteousness of the blameless will direct his way. What did it say? The righteousness of the blameless will do what? Direct his ways. But the wicked will fall by his own wickedness. The righteousness of the upright will deliver them. But the unfaithful will be caught by their lust. It says, when a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. But it says this in verse number 8, the righteous is delivered from trouble, and it comes to the wicked instead. In other words, when you make a decision to operate according to, when you're operating according to integrity, when you're operating according to righteousness, when you're living blameless, when you're living according to God's word, when you've made a decision that integrity will guide you, then you lay aside any and all other options. Any other thing outside of that will be a perversity or something that was originally meant for good, but will be turned to something that is worse. Now, what does integrity mean? Integrity simply means innocence, the entire unimpaired state of anything, particularly of the mind, moral soundness or purity, incorruptness, uprightness, and honesty. So the uprightness of the believer guides them. the purity of the believer will guide them. The incorruptedness of a person will guide them. Now, it also talks about how the righteousness delivers from death. So what delivers from death? That word righteousness means rightness. So rightness will deliver you from death. Purity of heart and rectitude of life will deliver you from death. Talking about the conformity of your heart and life to the divine law will deliver you from death. So what is he saying? The more that your life is defined by righteousness, the more that your life is defined by purity, the more that your life is defined, in a better way to say that, the more that your life is defined by the word of God, and it gets down on the inside of you, it will guide you. It will lead you. It will deliver you when you make a heart decision that you're going to let integrity be your guide. Now, what is the spirit of integrity? I've been saying a lot about integrity, but what is this spirit of integrity? Because see, the thing is in those first scriptures, when we were talking about, one group said that they, hey, we're going to fear the Lord. We're going to follow after God. But the other group says, man, what difference does it make if we're serving God? We're going to go back and live according to the world. You have two individuals who had heard the exact same information. One made a decision to hold on to it with everything they got, and the other one made a decision, I'm going to follow and go a different way. The same thing in the book of Job 21:14, when he's talking about, it didn't say that God did not offer the word to them. It did not say that God did not offer his ways to them. It says the people said, go away from us, God. We do not want your ways. Now, when you're operating according to the spirit of integrity, that means to consistently upholding honesty, ethical principles, and moral values, even when it's difficult, and prioritizing doing what is right. So when you're operating according to a spirit of integrity, you prioritize what is right above anything and everything. Operating according to the spirit of integrity also implies a commitment to behaving honestly and ethically, being truthful, and upholding moral principles. Now, a key characteristic of integrity means you're honest, which means you're being truthful and transparent in all actions and communications. Another characteristic of operating according to integrity is ethical behavior, adhering to a strong moral compass, and acting in accordance with what is considered right and just. Now, who helps you to be able to do that? The Holy Spirit. What? Why? Because the Holy Spirit will lead. He is called the Spirit of Truth, who will do what? Lead and guide you into all truth. So if you're operating according to a spirit of integrity, you're operating, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and to guide you into all truth. Another characteristic of someone who's operating according to integrity means responsibility, taking ownership of one's actions and being accountable for the consequences. Now, that's one thing for me is huge. One thing people will say, man, I may not always get it 100, but I take full ownership of, if I miss it, I miss it. If I get it right, I get it right. But either way, I take ownership and I deal with the consequences that come as a result of it. And another characteristic of someone who's operating according to integrity means respect. You're always showing consideration and valuing others, even when they don't hold, even when you hold different opinions. And the last characteristic I want to share with you about integrity is your courage. You're standing up for what is right, even when it's unpopular or difficult. Now, if you're talking about being a true follower of Jesus, you're talking about integrity be your guide. If you're talking about you're yielding yourself to the leading and guidings of the Holy Spirit, it takes courage to swim upstream. It takes courage to stand up and say what's right, even when it's unpopular among other people. Now, the importance of integrity is this. It makes you are someone who is trustworthy. When you are trustworthy, people with integrity are seen as reliable, dependable, fostering strong relationships based on trust and respect. So when you're operating according to the geisha, the babosa, let me read that to you again. People who are operating according to integrity are trustworthy. People with integrity are seen as reliable and dependable, fostering strong relationships based on trust and respect. Another thing is people who operate with integrity, they have personal growth, which means their living with integrity can lead you to a sense of authenticity, self-respect, and inner peace. And see, there's one thing you can't put a price on. I don't care how much money they're talking about paying you. If they want you to operate outside of your integrity, the first thing that will be challenged is your peace. When you don't have peace, when you don't believe in what is being done, when you're not comfortable with what's going on around you, that you, the word of God says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, let peace rule in your heart like an empire. And when you allow integrity to guide you, that peace radar will go off. And when that alarm starts going off, that your peace is being violated, then you already realize there is some lack of integrity going on around you. And the next one is, when you're a person of integrity, you have a positive impact. When you're operating according with integrity, it can create positive ripple effects, inspiring others to do the same. Now, why did I spend the first part of this message sharing with you about what integrity is, what it looks like when you have one person who says they're a Christian, but they're living according to their flesh or their five physical senses, and another one that says they're a follower of Jesus, but they're spiritually minded, and they're allowing whatever the word of God says, that's what they do. And they have ears to hear what the word of God has to say, and they're not leaning to their own intellect, but they're leaning to the revelation and impartation that they receive from the word, and they're led and guided by the Holy Spirit, and they allow the Holy Spirit to have the word of God to have the final say. And the reason why I'm telling you all these things is because in the latter times, the Lord said in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says this. He says, now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last times, some will turn away from the true faith. How do they turn away from the true faith? Remember when we was talking about those two groups before, the one who says, what's the benefit of serving God? And the other one says, we have a fear and awe and love of God. What was happening? The words were being perverted. When we're talking about the integrity of the upright will guide them, it says, but when things are being perverted, the wicked that are allowing perverted things to happen, and what once was be true to them now has become a lie. What once used to be the absolute final authority now is just somebody else's opinion. Then you have some people say, that's your truth and this is my truth. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you there's only one truth, and that truth is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. That truth is the word. In fact, it says in John 17:17, thy word is sanctify them by your truth. Father, your word is truth. The word of God is true. And God says, Timothy, by the Holy Spirit through Paul to his young pastor, Timothy, he said, in the last times, people will turn away from the faith, true faith. They will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from demons. These people are hypocrites and liars, and their consciences are dead. What did he say? They're hypocrites. They're pretenders. They're liars. And he says, and they're being deceived by demonic spirits and teachings that come from demons. He says, but I'm telling you all these things, Timothy, before they happen. So when they show up, you will be aware and be able to warn the people. Remember, what we do is we get a word from the Lord, and we warn the people. As in Ezekiel 33:7, he says, son, I've made you my mouthpiece in the earth, and I will, and you will warn, you will hear a word from me, and you will warn the people. So what are we doing? We're hearing a word from the Lord, and we're warning the people, and we're telling you, you want to allow integrity to be your guiding force. You want to allow the word of God, the truth of God's word, to be your guiding force. It goes on to say this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, still talking about, you know, why we need to allow integrity to be our guiding force. Because Paul says this to the church at Corinth. He says in 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, he says, I fear that somehow your pure and undivided devotion to Christ will be corrupt, just as Eve was deceived by the cunning ways of the serpent. He says, you happily put up with whatever anyone tells you, even if they preach a different Jesus than the one we preached, or a different kind of spirit than the one we preach, than you received, or a different kind of gospel than the one you believed. In other words, they're coming and it sounds like what they're saying is right. It looks like what they're doing is right. It gives you goosebumps like it is that you, but what they're telling you is they're telling you Jesus loves everybody. Nobody will ever go to hell. And see, there's more than just the Holy Spirit. You don't have to be a follower of Jesus. You can just be spiritual and just come in contact with Mother Earth, or you can channel these spirits through crystals. All that's demonic. When you're saying that there's more ways to get to God through Jesus Christ, that's a doctrine of demons. When it says your good works should outweigh your bad works, that's how you'll get to heaven, that's a doctrine of demons. When it says you no longer have to pray to the Father in Jesus' name, you just pray to Mary, or you just pray to Buddha, or you just pray to Allah, or you just pray to this statue, and you'll get the same results. And the way that you'll know you got the results is when you get the answers. And if the answers, if you get the results you want, then that was the will of whoever you believe in praying to. But if you didn't get the answer that you're looking for, then that means it wasn't his will. But see, that's foolishness, because God said, as you can know his will, because his word is his will. His will you will find in his word. Then you will hear people begin to teach a different gospel. You know, you can, people teach about hyper grace. You know, grace is part of the gospel, but there is, it's not hyper grace where you can just live any old kind of way that you want to and still get to heaven. Because the word of God, which we'll talk about over the next few weeks, you'll find out that's not true at all. In fact, when you get born again, there, the way that you know that you're born again, there is a change. Excuse me. He goes on to say that here, he says, still talking about in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, these people are false prophets. They are deceitful workers who disguise themselves as apostles of Christ. But Paul says, I'm not surprised. He says, even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no wonder that his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. In the end, they will get the punishment their wicked deeds deserve. In other words, the same way, how does God get his expression in the earth? By someone yielding their will, receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior, receiving the Holy Spirit on the inside of them, and allowing God to get expression in the earth through that, through the Holy Spirit being on the inside of them. How does the adversary get expression in the earth? By having someone who's not born again yield themselves to him, allowing him to possess them. Or even if you're born again and you're yielded to his influence and allow him to get expression through you, because you begin to say the things he would have you say, do the things he would have you to do, and go to places he would have you to go and everything. So he gets, in either both cases, you need to have a physical body in the earth in order for a spirit to have full expression in the earth. Without having a physical body, it's illegal for a spirit to be in the earth. Did you hear what I said? That's the same reason why Jesus couldn't just show up on the earth. He had to have a physical body, be born into the body of a man, born into a body, so he could have full expression in the earth. Remember when the adversary was in that man at Gadara, he had demons on the inside of him. And Jesus said, who are you? He says, we are legion, for we are many. And Jesus was going to cast them out. And they asked, let us go into the pigs. So Jesus said, get out of that man. And the demons went into the pig. When they went into the pigs, guess what happened? The pigs ran down the bank and killed themselves. What also happened? The demons' expression in the earth also ceased. Why? Because it no longer had a physical body to house. The same thing happens here. The moment you make a decision to let integrity be your guide, the moment you make a decision that says, you know what, from this day forward, I'm going to allow integrity to be my guiding force. I'm going to allow the word of God to be the final authority. I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me into all truth and to teach me in all things. The moment you make a decision that says, from this day forward, I'm going to fear the Lord no matter what, then guess what happens? You have just separated yourself from that old way and made a decision from this day forward, I'm going to do it God's way. You know, those are people who have already accepted Jesus as the Lord and Savior. But if you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, I want to give you an opportunity to do that right now. What does that look like? What does that even sound like? How does that even happen? Can I do it? Listen to a podcast? Absolutely. How do you get that thing to happen? It's as simple as praying this prayer after me, confessing it out of your mouth, meaning it from your heart, saying with me, Dear Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I do believe Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. I believe He died for me on the cross, and He carried my sins for me. I believe He was put in a grave, but now He's risen. He's alive right now. Lord Jesus, I make You the Lord of my life right now. I repent of sin. I receive Your offer of forgiveness. Thank You for saving me. Thank You for loving me. Thank You for filling me with Your precious Holy Spirit. I will follow You for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you pray that prayer with me right there, I want to welcome you into the kingdom of God, welcome you back into right relationship with God, welcome you into... Now, what do you do now? Man, you got to get in a word-based church. It teaches you about the death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ, teaches you about the love of God, teaches you about the kingdom of God. Man, we're here every Saturday at 6 p.m. Atlanta Standard Time or 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we'll be willing to share this word with you. And if you want to not only hear this word, but go back and hear the rest of the messages that have been preached on this topic about having the character and nature of God on the inside of you, man, I invite you to like and subscribe to our podcast at Ignite to Life. That's Ignite, the number 2, Life. Audio podcast where you can hear this and many other messages. Now, on behalf of Pastor Juwen and entire Ignite Nation, I want to thank you for joining us here at a Kingdom Live today, Kingdom Encounter Live, and we'll see you next week. God bless you. Bye bye.